We'll have a song by our sister Carolyn Harrell just before our brother McKay brings the message from God's Word.
To 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a verse there I'll be referring to in a moment or two. Those of you who were out on Sunday morning will remember that I was speaking to you a little about some of the ingredients of the victorious conversion that the Thessalonian saints experienced. We saw in that conversion salvation, in the words, ye turned to God, followed by separation. Ye turned to God from idols. And then we saw the thought of service, because the apostle continued, not only did ye turn to God from idols, but to serve the living and true God. Now, I said at that time I want to continue that thought a little tonight, and I do. We might give it just to indicate the way that we're going. We might give it the title of Every Christian, a Full-Time Servant of God. Now, in the assemblies such as this, we have rejected the idea of clergy and laity. The fact that there is a special company amongst God's people called the clergy, who alone have certain special privileges. We've rejected that as being contrary to the teaching of the New Testament. But of course, amongst us, we have those who have left their secular employment for the ministry of the Word of God, preaching the gospel, teaching the Lord's people, pastoring the flock of God. And to identify these ones, without giving them any title that would in that sense separate them from all of God's people, we very often refer to them as full-time servants of Christ. Now, I'm not going to find fault with that term. If you have a better one, I'm quite sure we'd be glad to hear it and consider it and possibly use it. But on the other hand, it can give a wrong impression. And as I was pointing out on Sunday morning, it's quite clear from the verse that I quoted from 1 Thessalonians 1 that those who are saved, those who turn to God and who are separated, who turn their back on their idols, that all of these serve the living and true God. Paul makes no suggestion whatsoever in those verses that there was a certain number amongst them who became servants of God. Rather, that all of them, and I believe the teaching of the New Testament is, taking into full consideration the fact that there are gifts given by the risen head of the church, gifts of evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Taking that into full consideration, I believe that it is the teaching of the New Testament that all of God's people should be full-time servants of Christ. Now, how can that be? Just to be perfectly practical, to get right down to life, as you and I have to live it in this 20th century, how can that be true? Well, I want to look at it in this way. I believe that our lives, speaking in a very general way, and that's all I'll be able to do tonight. I'm scheduled, I believe, if the Lord may not come, to speak on two Wednesday nights next month. And I would like, unless the Lord leads me very definitely otherwise, I would like to pursue this subject by going into more detail about it. But tonight we're just going to take a general look at the situation and try and find a few practical answers to questions that immediately arise. Now, I believe in a general way that we can speak of our Christian life as being divided into four areas. There's the personal, there's the family, there's the business, and there's the assembly. Now, it seems to me that those are the four major divisions, the four major areas in which our life is divided. And in each one of those, we have responsibilities that must be discharged. And I believe a successful, fruitful Christian life is to get these four areas into proper balance, not neglecting any one of them, not overemphasizing any one of them, but get them into proper balance, functioning, as it were, together. And then we will live a full Christian life. I believe that with most of us, before we realize We can become a little lopsided. We can be unduly occupied with the personal. Or we can be unduly occupied with the family area of our life. Or with the business area of our life. Or with the assembly area of our life. But I would like to show you tonight, speaking again, I repeat, very generally, I would like to show you from Scripture how in these four areas we can be servants of the Lord. We can render service to Him. And when we put those four together, we have, I believe, the service that God expects from every child of God. Now let's think of the personal. But before we do that, we'll read now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You know, God's answers to the problems that face us in our Christian life are surprisingly simple when you just look at them. It's amazing how complicated we can make things that God has made simple. And there are a few key verses in the Scriptures that if every one of us, speaker and hearers, were just to put into practice, we would find it would answer many, if not all, of the questions that arise and the problems that we face. Now, I believe that the basic mistake that most of us make is we divide our life into two compartments. One is secular, and the other is sacred. One has to do with material things, and the other has to do with spiritual things. Now, I believe that this verse here destroys that idea altogether. There's nothing more common than eating and drinking. It's a necessity of life. You and I have to eat, and we have to drink, if we're going to be able to live here on the earth. If we don't perform this simple thing a few times a day at least, we just will cease to exist. Many years ago, we had at Emmaus a young girl who got the idea she shouldn't eat anymore. She was going to fast the rest of her life. So they asked me, seeing I was one of the newer instructors, if I would talk to her. I said, I'd be glad to. So she was asked to come into my office. And so I said to her, after we chatted just a little to get acquainted, I said, now I understand that you have stopped eating. She said, yes. Why? Well, she said, I don't believe that I should eat until the Lord tells me to. I said, will you do it when He tells you? She said, yes, I will. All right, I said, young lady, get ready. He's going to tell you right now. So I opened my Bible and I read her, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions. I said, now go ahead, young lady. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I said, that's what the Lord meant. It doesn't matter what you meant. That's what the Lord meant. You take thankfully the food that God has provided for you and use the strength you derive from it for His glory. So there's nothing more common than eating and drinking. But what does our verse tell us? That I'm to put that over in a compartment all by itself? and not bring God into that? It tells me the very opposite. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do. Now that's a whatsoever that's mighty broad. That covers everything that you do in your Christian life. Whatsoever you do, how are you to do it and why? Do all to the glory of God. Now that's a verse that cuts pretty close, isn't it? But if you and I were just to take that verse and what it teaches and apply it to our life in a practical, everyday way, it would answer so many questions. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I not do this? Should I not do that? Should I go there? Should I not go there? There's just one question I have to ask. Can I do that for the glory of God? That's why when God saved me 57 years ago, I stopped smoking. I couldn't by any stretch of imagination figure out how I could glorify God by a piece of paper with some tobacco in it and the fire at one end, the fool at the other. I couldn't figure out how in the world I could glorify God with that. Well, there it is. I dare do it. That's why I stopped attending the worldly amusements that were life to me. They kept at me and at me and at me to go to the theater again because I used to almost live in it. And I said, I'll go. And they almost jumped for joy. They said, you will. I said, yes, I will, on one condition. What's that? That they allow me at intermission to get up and tell how God saved me. Oh, they said, that'd be entirely out of place. I said, so would I. So would I. Any place I can't tell people that the grace of God has saved me is no place for me. Whatsoever ye do. No, I didn't write this. God wrote this. If I'm going to obey this verse, I will challenge everything I do. Can I do this to the glory of God? I mustn't waste time, but old men get a lot of recollections and they reminisce a whole lot. I've learned that from experience, listening to others. It comes back to me when I was preaching back in the mountains there many years ago up in West Virginia. And they used to get things started, you know, and it would just roll around. Well, they got this nonsensical question going around. Do you eat to live or do you live to eat? Well, they came and asked me that. Said, Brother McKay, do you eat to live or live to eat? I said, what do you think, I am a hog? I said, I was almost going to say a hog lives to eat, but it doesn't. It eats to die, not to live. Because after it's eaten enough, why, sure enough, they'll put it to death. I said, why, I wish every question that I had to answer were as simple as that. No, I don't live to eat. I eat to live. I eat so that I might have strength to serve my God. And so I believe that right at the beginning, if we can get away from this idea, now this compartment over here has to do with secular things. And I can do my own thing in that. Over here, this is sacred, and I must carry out the will of God in this. Now, that's entirely wrong. You and I have one life, and whatsoever we do in that life, we should do to the glory of God. Now, if I find there's anything I'm doing that I can't ask the blessing of God on, and if I can't ask God to use that for His glory, I better have done with it. Now, let's think of those four areas that I have suggested that our life is divided into. First of all, the personal. Then the family. Then the business. And then the assembly. Now, I don't know how far I'll get tonight, but we'll just get as far as the clock will permit us. Personally, I think this clock is fast. But we'll just get as far as we can. Now, God is interested in families. He's interested in nations. And he's interested in the whole church of God, the body of Christ. But God works in and through individuals. You are saved as an individual. That's the way God works. You are baptized as an individual. And you as an individual are living your individual life before God. Now, you can immediately see that each one of these four areas that I've suggested really deserves not a full-time message itself, but several messages. And there have been. But we're, as I say, just going to think of it in a general way. And we've tried to abolish the idea of part of our life being of a purely secular nature. And we don't have to bring God into that at all. We put him in the sacred part. I think maybe a little illustration of that would be of the young brother who came to an elder, not here, but he came to the elder quite happy. He said, "You know, brother, in just a short time, I'm going to go into full-time service for the Lord." The elder looked at him, he said, "How long have you been saved?" "Oh, I've been saved about 5 years." He said, "Who have you been serving the other part of the time?" Now, if you're thinking of going to full-time service, who's you been serving the other part? Oh, you say, "I've been working." Good. And I want to show you tonight, if we get that far, how your work should be service for the Lord. "Oh, I've been looking after my family." Good. I want to show you how that can be service for the Lord. "But I have certain personal responsibilities that I need to attend to." Good. And each one of those can be service for the Lord. That's what I want us all to see again tonight. Now let's begin with us as individuals. We'll not go into details and spend time on that. I'm just going to give you one verse that I believe is the key to serving the Lord as an individual. That's Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. A very familiar verse that is often read and preached from and very seldom practiced. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Reasonable with a thought of intelligent. It's your intelligent service. So I believe as an individual, that's where we start. God started with you and with me as an individual by saving us as an individual. All right. My first responsibility as an individual is to present my body a living sacrifice to God. Meditating on this, as I said Sunday, I've had quite a bit of time to, much more time to meditate than to study. If you think of studying as sitting at a desk. But in meditating on this, the question rose in my mind, why does God say here, present your bodies? Wouldn't you rather think it would be your heart, the very center of your affections? Wouldn't you rather think it would be your soul, the expression of your desires, your ambitions? Wouldn't you think it would be your spirit, your intelligent part, to present that to Him? But it says, present your body. Why? Because it is only through your body and my body that I can give expression to what is in my heart, what my soul really desires, what my spirit knows. And so my body, as the vehicle through which I express my inner being, is to be presented to God. You've got your Bible open to the 12th chapter. Turn back quickly to chapter 6, and I think you'll see what I mean. Chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, now notice this, it's the members of your body. As ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, the same members that were yielded before unto iniquity, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. There, I'm sure you can see why we are called upon, every one of us, to present our bodies to the Lord as our reasonable service. Whatever that hand did before God saved me 57 years ago, that hand should never be used for anything that is not for the glory of God. Wherever these feet went before God saved me, those feet should never carry me where I can't glorify God. Whatever came out from between these two lips before God saved me, there should be nothing come out from between them but that which would glorify God. Now that cuts very close, doesn't it? That is the way I can serve the Lord. Doesn't matter where I am, wherever that hand is, wherever those feet are, wherever this mouth is, wherever these ears are, there I can perform an intelligent service to God by yielding these members to Him. Now you see, if every child of God would only do that, just that, which seems a very simple thing, but it's a tremendous thing. If every one of us were just to do that, you see how many things that would solve right away? We wouldn't need a lot of instruction. We wouldn't need a lot of seminars if we were just to carry out that simple but tremendously important matter of yielding our body, the members of our body, unto Him. And that's our service. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, and do it as unto the Lord. And you're serving the Lord. Let's quickly move on now, and let's think of, well, most of us in some way or another, in different ways, we have a family life to live. Even unmarried ones, naturally, are part of a family. Now, how can I serve God in the family? That, of course, is a broad, tremendously wide subject. But I believe that today we're having all kinds of seminars on the details. I'm amazed, really amazed, that my wife and I managed to rear three sons and we never went to a seminar. No, we never went to hear an expert tell us how to raise our children. I'm amazed that they made it. As one brother said, that the reason he grew up was, he grew up at a godly mother's knee and over a godly father's knee. And those two are pretty good prescription. But now, what about our family? Well, let me just give you again, I say, just a basic verse. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I believe that in this verse, which can be applied in many helpful ways, you have the very key to a Christian family life. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, you may get the thought in those two words a little better when I tell you that the first word has the thought of training. Nurture here has the thought of training. Admonition has the thought of teaching. As I read my Bible, I believe that Christian family life, whatever the details of it may be, is a place where there is teaching and training in the things of the Lord. Well, there are a lot of other practical things you can immediately think of that enter into family life. They have to be provided for and so on. But here's the very heart. Christians can serve God in their family sphere where there is the teaching and the training of the things of God. And that should be the atmosphere. That should permeate. That should be the very heart and purpose of a Christian home, such as every Christian couple should set up immediately upon their marriage. You teach, of course, by instructing. You train, of course, by an example, by guiding, by correcting, and by encouraging. Now, if we were just to take this basic thought, we have learned that we can serve God every moment of our life if we use the members of our body to His glory. Now we can learn that we can serve God in our families, in our home life. We can serve God there if it's the area of teaching and training in the things of God. But now, let's move on just for a moment or two. Look at the verses that follow. There's our business life. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men please, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." There is the way to serve God in your business life. You notice that again and again it repeats it. We do it what? As unto the Lord. Brethren, when you go out to business, and when your sisters go out to business, look on it as an opportunity to serve the Lord. And what you do, don't do it with eye service, as it were, the boss are watching you, likely he is. But look at it and perform it as a service unto the Lord, doing the will of God. Is this the will of God for me to work at this desk? It is, if that's where he put you. Is it the will of God for me to work on this car? It is, if that's where he put you. Is it the will of God for me to do this or to do that? If he's put you there to earn an honest living, brethren, do it as unto the Lord. And sisters, do it as unto the Lord. And remember, you are serving Christ. It'll turn your work, and I know I'm not talking out of a fairy castle. I know that tomorrow morning I don't have to go out to business. But on the other hand, I think I'm somewhat aware of some of the problems, the tremendous pressure, the competition, all the stress and the pressure that's coming on men and women today in the business world. Brethren, while it may be greater than ever before, the Lord knew exactly what it would be in the 20th century. And he said, "Do it as unto me." And when you look at that sheet of paper that you've got to work on, do it as unto the Lord. And who are you doing? You're serving the Lord. Oh, it lifts it out of drudgery. It lifts it out of the mundane. And it gives something to it that nothing else will do. I can speak from experience a good many years since I went out to business every day. But I did. And when I worked in an office, God taught me to keep those books and do the other responsibilities in that office as unto Christ. When I worked on the western wheat fields, from before sunup to long after sundown, and knew what it was to be so weary one could hardly drag a foot after another, I did as unto the Lord. When I cut the great trees down in the woodlands of northern Canada, I did it as unto the Lord. And I found wherever I was and whatever I was doing, if I did unto him, my heart was full of joy. And I could count on him to help me. And so I trust that this will help us just a little, brethren, to get rid of the idea that you've got to be a preacher, you've got to be a minister, you've got to be a song leader. Now, I'll get around to all of that. There's the need for those things. But I want all of us to get rid of the idea we've got to go to Bible school and come out and be a preacher or a teacher or a counselor or something like that to serve the Lord. I started serving the Lord, God knows, the night God saved me. And I haven't stopped for 57 years. And I think I got just as much joy back then when I was working every day to earn an honest living and preaching practically every night and giving tracts out every weekend and Saturday. Brethren, we have the greatest honor in the world serving Jesus Christ. We've turned to God. I trust we've turned our back on our idols. Brethren, let's serve the living and true God. It would be awfully nice if someone were to ask how many of the Christians at the Shannon Hills Chapel are servants of the Lord. It'd be awfully nice to be, say, every one of them. Every one of them. You in your small corner, me in mine, don't get the platform itch, you young fellas. You can make a bigger fool of yourself in 5 minutes on the platform than you will in several years off it. Where God has put you, be a testimony for Him. Live for Him. Enjoy it. Have somebody come up and tap me on the shoulder. Say, fella, haven't you got any problems? Sure I've got problems. Well, you don't look like it. You seem to be happy and singing. What an opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an effect it would have on them. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the one who was the eternal Son of God, worshipped by angels, bringing the world into creation with the word of His power, and yet who became that humble carpenter here on earth, who became that lowly servant of the Lord here amongst His own creatures. Lord Jesus, help us to follow Thee. Make us true servants of Thine. Whatever we're doing actually, Lord, may it be serving Thee. Bless us as we separate, we ask in our Savior's precious name.